Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but make a visit over there. You never know what might pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I'm at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, I have to start you off with story time. And as, you know, basically anybody who's listened to us for a while knows, Mr. Fantasy and I share a fantasy football team in what we call our money league. You know, we co-manage the team or own the team or however you want to look at it. Well, it's a 15-team league. And, you know, when we go through it, I always like us to have a backup quarterback, you know, in the draft. I like us to draft two quarterbacks. So this year we got Drew Brees, and we were really happy with him. So we waited for a while. And I do my research. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, I've been accused of not doing any research, but I actually do research. So as I was looking through it, I decided that our best pick by the time we really wanted to take another quarterback was going to be Phillip Rivers. Now, Drew Brees was off this week. Phillip Rivers' matchup was with the Cincinnati Bengals. So I really liked that. I thought he was the best pick. So we grabbed Rivers and just kind of stashed him on our roster. Now, obviously, everybody knows Phillip Rivers was with the, you know, he was drafted by, well, technically the Giants in 04, but then they swapped him for Eli Manning with the Chargers, and he was with the Chargers up until this year where he signed with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, he struggled a little bit because, you know, it's a new offense, a new coach, and after, you know, 16 years with one team, it's a little different. So, of course, my good buddy Mr. Fantasy decides to cut him. And now if you know Mr. Fantasy or you've heard us talk about Mr. Fantasy, he loves the one-hit wonders. If a guy has a great week, he will pick him up regardless of who this guy is. So what he did was he cut Phillip Rivers for a wide receiver who had a big week, but what he didn't do, again, was research, and he didn't realize that the team this wide receiver had on had lost their top two wide receivers, and this guy was number four on the depth chart. So the only reason he saw the field was because those first two guys got game-time injuries and couldn't finish the game. So now we have this chump on our roster who's doing absolutely nothing for us. We haven't even played him, but we cut Phillip Rivers to get him. So this week rolls along, and we're desperate for a quarterback because obviously Drew Brees is on his bye week. So Mr. Fantasy hits the waiver wire, and he's trying to get Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, our waiver claim is too low. We can't get him. And it's a 15-team league, so there's not a lot of choices out there. We end up with Baker Mayfield. I'm less than thrilled with this because, well, A, he never told me he cut Phillip Rivers, and B, I would have never allowed him to cut Phillip Rivers had I known. I get a text yesterday, Dan. Oh, I don't know, just about towards the end of the first set of games. Boy, we really suck today. And all I'm thinking to myself is, we? Who the hell is we? I didn't cut Phillip Rivers. Now, Baker Mayfield was a chump. got pulled in the third quarter and was really just an embarrassment to the NFL yesterday. Dan, Philip Rivers threw three touchdown passes, but apparently we didn't need to hang on to a player like that. So it looks like we're going to get lucky, and you play two games a week in this league. I think we're going to find a way to split just off of sheer luck. But in reality, we deserve to get our brains kicked in both these games. But, yeah, I laughed my ass off when I read that text saying we, so I texted him back. I was like, well, you shouldn't have cut Rivers. Never heard from him again. So, yeah, that was my my Money League Fantasy Football Week is how that went. So I knew you would get a kick out of that, and I'm sure, you know, if we have enough regular listeners, you've heard us talk about Mr. Fantasy. So, yeah, that was kind of fun for me when, you know, again, it was just like, we really suck. We really suck. You know, I mean, this is the league that when they send out info about it, can't even put my name on it. I don't even get the email. That's how much I matter, and it's we? Okay.
So you guys are winning.
We're actually doing really well in the league this year. We were 7-3 coming into this week, but I'm still thinking we're going to go 0-2 this week. He's under the impression we're going to come back and win one of these games. But I think the only way we're going to do it is if Devin Singletary has a monster game. And I don't really see that happening. So, but who knows? You know, maybe we'll get lucky. I think we have C.D. Lamb going as well. But, you know, Dallas has the new quarterback with Andy Dalton, and I don't know how much throwing they're going to do. You know, and then humorously, the other thing you didn't listen to me on is I didn't want to start Odell Beckham this week because he missed practice Wednesday and Thursday with a non-COVID-related illness. He was just sick. And I just didn't like the matchup. You know, they were playing the Steelers. I didn't want Baker Mayfield won. And I wasn't interested in Odell Beckham, but he kept him in, and we had a guy on our bench score about 30 points that we could have used, and then we probably would have won both games. So I think it's going to have to go back to where I just kind of take over putting the lineup in and doing what I want to do, even though he's had really good success this year. But yeah, I just can't deal with it.
Practice.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, that was my humorous story. And you know, we actually, with, you know, the NFL the way it is, there's actually a game going on right now, believe it or not. I think the Bills have currently they're ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs like 3-0. You know, and then we have the night game, which is the Cowboys and the Cardinals. Oh, I was wrong. The Chiefs just scored. It's now 7-3. So yeah, if you're into football, or you know, you just want to watch some more of it, you know, you can check that out and see how that goes.
What game are they making?
This was actually supposed to be the Thursday night game, but since the Bills game last week got pushed back to Tuesday, obviously they weren't going to make them play it on two, you know, a day of rest. So they, you know, they allowed them to make it up, or move it back to today. I don't know why they didn't play it yesterday, but for whatever reason, they didn't. I don't know.
Hey, a test. See how many people watch on a Monday afternoon, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's definitely one of those things that, you know, could happen, I guess. It's not in the best time slot for, you know, everybody to watch, but, you know, it's decent. So, you know, and,
you know, humorously yesterday,
Schomburg Stu kept coming back to me about how, you know, well, you know, it's game seven and, you know, it's going to outdraw Sunday night football. And I'm like, no, it's not. Where are you coming up with this? I'm like, maybe if it was game seven of the World Series, you know, it might outdraw Sunday night football game because it was just the Rams and the 49ers. So it wasn't a great matchup. But I looked up the ratings, and the football game did a 10.3. Apparently, you know, million people watching it. So the rating, I believe, was 2.8. While the baseball game, it did well. It drew 6.4 million viewers, but the rating was 1.9. So while they did take a little bit of a chunk out of the football game, you know, football still won the night. You know, and in reality, I mean, not really that close. I mean, they had, you know, 4 million more people watching football than they did watching baseball. You know, not that Dan was watching football. He had the baseball game on. But unfortunately, you know, we're not all Dan. Right? Where did you go, Dan? Did you mute yourself again? You know, and I did see here that I didn't watch this, but Supermarket Sweep was the third best rated show at 4.8 million viewers. So I was kind of like, oh, okay. I, you know, again, not something I would generally watch, but you know, we'll see how it goes. But what did you watch, Dan? Did you watch baseball or football?
Well, you know, I ended up watching the first half of the Bears. I don't know, to be honest, I don't know, for whatever reason, I just couldn't get into watching anything yesterday. So I thought it'd be a good idea to go, you know, listen to the Bears while we go to, you know, Sam's Club. Because, you know, the Bears are on, so it should be less crowded, right? Right, Big Jack?
Sure, but everybody had your idea.
Yes, so it was not less crowded. You know, I don't know. I guess part of the reason I wasn't really in tune with the Bears, and, you know, like I said, I only get to one game, so it's because of fantasy. And I really don't have any Bears players on either one of my teams, so it was just kind of like here or there. So I was getting kind of bored watching the Bears game because I guess even though it's the local team, I didn't really have a whole lot of interest. Because, you know, I'm worried about everybody else. Like the fact that, Big Jack, what did we talk about last week? That I was going to bench Matt Ryan and put in Minshew. And what did I tell you was going to happen? Matt Ryan was going to go off and Minshew would tank. Well, Minshew didn't tank totally, but at the start of the – I don't remember if they were the early game or whatnot, but at the start of, I think, the day, Minshew was, like, negative. So he did come back and put up 17 points, but that's about half of what Matt Ryan did. Luckily, Big Jack, I'm in the running to win again. The guy I'm up against, I've already completed my week. He has two. Kenyon Drake from Arizona, and Chris Herndon from the Jets. Oh, wait, no, not.
Oh, Herndon isn't going to score. The Jets played yesterday.
I hit the wrong one. So it's Chase Edmonds. So he's got him going, and he's got the Chiefs kicker. So as long as he needs the Chiefs to not kick any field goals. But even with the projections, they still project me to win. So hopefully that comes about. But, you know, like I was saying a couple weeks ago, the Snake League was the league that I was having the most trouble in, with Garoppolo out. And then last week, Garoppolo kind of put together a stink performance. And then, right now I've got John Brown from the Bills, so I'm hoping, you know, he could do some damage. But other than that, you know, it turned out to be a decent day for me in that league, too, because I'm up against the, I think, the worst team in our league who hasn't done anything. And then, you know, doesn't help that Aaron Rodgers gave him a 0.9 yesterday. So, but, yeah, this guy's dead. Big Jack, when we do the league, you'll be kicking him out for sure. But, you know, the funny thing is a couple weeks ago, Big Jack, I was 2-3 in that league, and I was in, like, 15th place. And this is the odd league that somehow my division ended up with 6 teams. So, you know, it is what it is, and that's where I got the team I'm up against. He is the worst one in the league. And, well, this, you know, I coming into this week, I was 3-2. Obviously, it's not over. I actually lead my league, my division, so I'm in 4th place. Well, you're in 9th. But I was wondering, there's a, when it ranks us out, there's PF. I don't know what that means.
Points scored.
Oh, well, I have like the least amount of points scored, so it's kind of odd that I'm in 4th place on 3-2 teams. But it, do you find that it happens like this, where it's so neck and neck for a few weeks, and then, of course, you know, a team that's 0-5 or 1-4, they start to separate? But we have several, almost half the league is 3-2. Do you, have you found in your experience that this happens, where it's kind of neck and neck for a while?
No, not normally. You know, normally there's always going to, not where, I guess I should say, not where it's winning teams. Normally, you know, you get those teams that are either 500 or they're a game below 500, and they're all kind of bunched in that spot. But yeah, this year, so far, the way the schedule has worked out, it seems like the better teams are playing the worst teams to start. So the better teams are winning these games. So we have more teams with winning records at this point than we normally have. Which, of course, will make it interesting going down the line to see, you know, if we can get some guys to make some trades. You know, I sent out a couple of trades that got rejected, and then I believe apparently I sent one to a dead team, and I didn't get a reply. You know, it got rejected because the guy didn't reply in, I think, it's 10 days. So, you know, it'll be interesting as, you know, the teams begin to match up, and we'll kind of get to see who really is the better teams in this league. You know, because I think in one of them, I think it might be the Snake League. It looks like I'm going to get really lucky and win, and the only reason I'm going to win is because I'm playing a dead team. I had a terrible week. I'm not even to 100 points yet. But again, you know, luckily I'm playing a guy who doesn't appear to be changing his lineup, and I'm going to sneak by. So that's a big, you know, that's going to be a big plus. And, you know, hopefully my injured guy will come back. I know McCaffrey's a week or two away from returning. So, you know, I'm kind of hoping to stay in the hunt until he gets back. And, you know, again, we need, you know, now that Le'Veon Bell is a Chief, you know, he's actually on a quality team with a high-powered offense. I'm interested to see if maybe that really helps me. If he may be able to put up some big numbers there if they use him. But, yeah, I just got really lucky this week. And, you know, I'm playing the right team, kind of like you. You know, you're 3-2, but you're the lowest point scorer. You're matching up against the right guy. So, you know, it's worked out. And, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I had that in baseball, I think it was 2 years ago, and they kicked us out of the playoffs because we didn't score a point. You know, we qualified for the playoffs, and then they said, no, you guys aren't in because you didn't score enough points. I'm like, well, when the hell did we make up this rule? Because we got in? This is a rule now? But, you know, that's how it goes in that league. So, you know, we shall see. But, yeah, you know, hopefully I think I'm going to win both of them, the league, you know, both of our leagues this week. So that's a big plus. But, yeah, I got, you know, again, I think I'm a lot like everybody else. I got to get healthy. you know, I mean, I got Cam Newton back finally in one of the leagues, but I still have a couple other guys that I'm, you know, I'm waiting on, and we'll see if, you know, they can return and produce. You know, it's just one of those goofy kind of years with all this stuff going on. So, you know, I don't know. I just don't know sometimes. But, yeah, you know, like I'm really interested tonight to see how, you know, how Andy Dalton does as the Cowboys starting quarterback. I don't think he's available in any of our leagues, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see with Dak Prescott out. And obviously the big key is, you know, will Dallas try to run the ball more? So, you know, it may be a big boom if you happen to have Ezekiel Elliott on your roster because he really hasn't produced much. But it may turn around starting tonight, Dalton is the quarterback.
Do you have Ezekiel on your
roster hiding somewhere? Did you end up with him?
No, I was going to say, you think he's pretty much done. I mean, when I saw him on TV, it was pretty nasty. So.
Who, Prescott?
The ankle, when it was, like, twisted the other way.
Well, no, you know, they said he'll be back in 7 to 8 months. So, you know, apparently he'll be up and running for next season. I guess if, you know, Alex Smith can make it back from what he went through, I'm sure Dak Prescott can, right?
Yeah, I thought you meant, like, he'll be back this season.
Yeah, no, not this year. Definitely not this year. So that you know, that would be a miracle beyond miracle if you somehow managed to to do that. I don't see that one happening. But yeah, you know, they said the surgery went well, and apparently he has no you know, they were worried about infection, and he doesn't have any of that. So everything is good to go with the guy, and you know, we've just got to, you know, wish him the best at this point, and hope everything, you know, continues on the right path. You know?
Yeah.
You know, now was that similar to what you did when you hurt your ankle, or how was that? Did you have surgery?
Yeah, my dislocated, so it just kind of cracked, I guess. So it didn't twist around like his. So I was assuming my surgery was probably a little bit easier. But you know, if you remember, I coming off the top rope or coming over the top rope, landing flat-footed, and was I wearing probably Chuck Taylor's at the time, and it just cracked.
That'll get
so. You know, I mean, I had done the fall out of the ring several times, so just went too fast.
I just remember you being hurt in the locker room and trying to figure out what was wrong. So
yeah,
because at first we thought it was just twisted, and you know,
yeah. If I didn't get into what I was called because I left to go to the doctor.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, probably the best choice. So.
Yeah.
Even though I'm just proud of you for leaving, you know, but you couldn't help with the ring.
Yeah. That's, if I would have helped with the ring, it would have been fine.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, you know, we'll see. You know, and it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, what starts to happen with his contract negotiation now, you know, and how that kind of plays out. Does Dallas franchise him, or, you know, maybe they use that secondary franchise tag on him this time around. But, you know, then you wonder, would another team sign him? So, it'll be interesting to see how that all ends up playing out. But, you know, in the end, who knows?
Yes, but how do you feel? I mean, it's not working, you know, obviously for today, but with Le'Veon Bell being picked up by the Chiefs.
You know, I'm not really sure. You know, I've heard a lot of people who were really excited about it, you know, because, again, it's, you know, a big-time, high-powered offense, and it really fits, you know, a lot of the style he had when he was in Pittsburh, you know, because he, you know, he was a great running back then, but he was also a fantastic pass catcher. You know, but the Chiefs drafted this, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire kid to kind of fill that role. And, you know, and I know he hasn't been great, but he hasn't stunk. You know, it's not like he's terrible. So I don't know. You know, I'm kind of waiting to see, you know, do they split time? Who gets the majority of, you know, the rushes? Because in our league, that's what, you know, is probably going to be important, is who's going to get the most carries. So, yeah, I'm really kind of, you know, just kind of stuck right now going, okay. And, you know, I was hoping he was going to be activated today, even though I wasn't going to expect him to play much, just because maybe it would give me a little idea of what they were going to do with him for next week. But, you know, he's not playing today. He's inactive. So I'm going to have to make sure I'm paying attention next week to see, you know, what kind of reps he's getting and what it looks like he's going to do before I plug him into the lineup and hopefully get something out of him. Because let's face it, you know, if you're a Le'Veon Bell owner, you've gotten diddly squat out of him this year. So, you know, and a lot of it is the fact that the Jets just stink. You know, and that's the other question. I mean, I know he's not quite 30 yet, but, you know, running backs wear down really quickly, and in Pittsburgh, he carried the ball a lot. You know, you got to wonder if maybe could the tank be empty, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that something you think, his owners should worry about? Yeah.
It's possible. I don't think he quit.
You know, but we'll, you know, I mean, what I'm hoping for is, you know, he'll probably be motivated if he does want to play next year and continue his career. He's playing for a contract. You know, he's only signed for these final, what do they have left? It'll be week 6. So he's only signed for the final 10 games. So, you know, he'll need to be able to show teams that he can still play and he can still produce. So, yeah, you know, I'm hoping that's kind of part of what works out, but who knows, you know, with, you know, especially with a guy like him, I don't think you know what you're going to get from, you know, kind of moment to moment. He seems to be a little almost off his rocker. Oh, but all right. Well, I got to ask you, Dan. Did we get the World Series matchup you were expecting? Well, I guess not, because you picked the Astros to be good old PS there. But, you know, these were the two best records. I'm kind of surprised they both got here.
Excuse me, I breathed in something down the wrong throat.
I'm on air while you're doing the podcast.
No. Yeah, I'm just dying. Don't worry about it. excuse me. No, I mean, I honestly didn't think. I thought it was going to be the, well, you know, like you said, I picked the Astros, but had originally picked the Yankees. So, but I think what surprised me more was the fact that both series were down 3-0, and they both were pushed to seven games. Or maybe the Astros wasn't 3-0, but.
Well, the Astros was, the Dodgers weren't. The Dodgers were down 2-0 before they won a game. So
but, I mean, I am kind of surprised that the Dodgers did come back. Maybe not surprised that they did it because it's the Dodgers, but just with the way the momentum and the feeling of the series have been going, I really thought it was going to go in the direction of the Braves. They just seem to be taking off. So kind of surprised that the Dodgers ended up beating them. But, I mean, your guy came through last night, Kiki. Was that to tie up the game? And then, my guy too. And then Cody Bellinger almost ripping his arm out with the celebrations, knocked that ball out of the yard. You know, with that, and the fact that there's no fans in the stands. If you've seen Cody Bellinger's home run, and I know we're not on this as much as previously, you know, the Joey Bats days, but you know, are you okay with the walk-off type stuff, the celebrations? I mean, I think, you know, the fact that he's not staring down the pitcher kind of, you know, makes it not so personal sometimes. But I'm like, man, sometimes I feel like they just need to hurry it up and act like they've been there before, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot to me kind of depends, you know, when they hit it. Like, you know, when Carlos Correa hit that game winner, I had no problem with him doing the bat flip and, you know, looking into the dugout. I mean, you just won a freaking playoff game with a home run. You know, I probably would still be rounding the bases if it was me. But, yeah, you know, some of these, you know, these guys, you get to the point where it's just like, really, you know, we're still kind of, you know, you're still kind of going around the bases. It's like, let's go. You know, you hit this thing 10 minutes ago. So I think a lot for me depends on just the situation.
Yeah, I guess where I'm going with it. You know, with the CBA come up, do you think they'll start to put in, I don't want to say rules, but, well, I guess it would be a rule because it'd be in there, or maybe somehow establish some kind of guideline. Because, you know, let's not forget, and the only reason I bring it up is the Cody Bellinger one. I'm not knocking Cody Bellinger. I'm not saying he shouldn't have did it. You know, each player to each his own. But in that situation, I think his approach could be taken off key by the opposing pitcher, resulting in, you know, I mean, and again, I'm being objective. I'm not one of those, you know, get off my lawn kind of guys. They need to stop celebrating, you know, any of that. But it can be taken off key by the opposing team. And, you know, and this is where I say maybe guidelines, some kind of rules where, you know, I was kind of surprised, and maybe given the nature of the game. But if this was, you know, game 3 or 4, 5 or 6, you know, the next game, the 5th or 6th game, it would almost be like a rite of passage where you'd expect Cody Bellinger to get hit. So, and I don't know, I guess they kind of have rules. Well, it's up to the discretion of the umpire, but do you think they'll get to a point where they're like to try to shut down that unwritten rule thing and then maybe minimize the celebrating so at least these guys get it in, but it's like, hey, you know, get your ass trotting around the bases.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure if that's something they would actually try to do. You never know. I mean, they do some weird when it comes to the, you know, to sports. I mean, the NFL obviously has the strictest celebration rule.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and in all honesty, I won't be surprised if Cody Bellinger takes one in the back, you know, next year when these two teams meet again. You know, that won't surprise me at all if somebody takes a shot at him there. You know, because we know these things do have a tendency to carry over. But I didn't really hear much about the celebrating so far. You know, and I'm wondering if maybe we're getting used to it. And, you know, as we start to lose a lot of those old school, you know, really hardcore guys, players, maybe it's not so bad anymore, and we're not going to have guys going at each other unless it's just a special circumstance almost.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to stop the personal feelings. And that'll always kind of come out, you know, when you kind of feel a guy has it out for you or whatever. But I think part of it, too, is broadcasting. You know, if you remember before, it was like such the broadcasting thing to do is just point these things out and then just report on it, shove it down our throats. So then everyone's, you know, upset about it or, you know, we're drawing the lines like we are with the presidential election. And so you've kind of got that going on. But, you know, that's, I think part of it, too, is, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head with that, where not just the older players, you know, the former pitcher, Cardinal Cub pitcher, and kind of put him out there in that one. But you don't have the announcers, and you wonder if it's like an executive thing where just don't talk about it. Let the kids be.
Yeah, well, you know, I guarantee you, if Brian McCann was still catching for the Braves, it would have been really different when Cody Bellinger got the home plate last night. You know, it may have been another one of those situations where McCann stood in front of it and wouldn't let him touch it like he did with, I believe it was Carlos Gomez a few years back, because that's just who Brian McCann is. So, but, yeah, I mean, it seems like not so much the in-game announcers, but, you know, the highlight shows, the, you know, the people who are showing the highlights, they seem to enjoy it more than kind of make it adversarial. You know, but for, you know, for the longest time, like, you would see one of those on, you know, like, say, the MLB Network, and right away, you know, you would get an old school player coming out and start talking about how, well, he's going to pay for that the next time these teams face, or in his next at bat, or whatever it looks like. And that doesn't happen as much anymore. You know, you don't hear the guys, unless it's really egregious by a player, you know, and I mean, he's haunting the pitcher or something like that, or, you know, you get the stare down as he's going up the line. That, you know, that's the kind of thing that brings this stuff on, and we didn't get any of that out of Bellinger or, you know, PP, or, you know, even Correa. When Correa hit his, he looked into his dugout. So, you know, that's one of those things. So I think these are okay. You know, I mean, I would love to see him, you know, do the bat flip and take off running to celebrate as you're going around the bases. But, you know, everybody likes to stand at home plate and look at it.
You know, maybe that's the one that could be regulated out at the, you know, flip your bat. And you're pretty safe now with all the netting going up around the stadium. So you're not going to hit a fan, right?
Yeah, no, you know, you're okay there. Or at least hopefully you're okay there. You know, I did see, you know, it looks like tomorrow's matchup, Clayton Kershaw and Tyler Glasnow. You know, we'll save Dan's pick for tomorrow. We're not going to force him to do it today. But, you know, it's always interesting when Kershaw goes to the mound because, you know, obviously he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and, you know, he's probably the best pitcher of the last, what, 15 years or so. But,
yeah,
you know, for whatever worked out, it doesn't really transition into the postseason for him. So it'll be interesting to see him kind of face this, you know, this younger, I don't know, upstart Rays lineup and see how he does against it. I mean, are you excited for the matchup? And I guess are you glad to see him come back, you know, for game one? Because that means if we go seven, we may get him three.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see him come back. You know, all my superstitious stuff isn't working, or it doesn't work. So, you know, none of that comes into play. But I think it should be an interesting series, especially the fact that you kind of have an old school World Series, Big Jack, where, I mean, it's, except with the cyclical rotation, you know, when's the last time these two teams have met? Because it definitely wasn't this season. So you've got two teams that really haven't gone up against each other. And you wonder how much of a factor that plays into it. You know, like you said, Kershaw's going up against a lot of young kids, rookie, you know, shorter term. Dodgers may not have as much scouting info on these guys. And, you know, not only that, but just the whole feel of actually going up against somebody. So it'll be an interesting series. And then, you know, with Tyler Glass now, I mean, this kid's just looking like the ace that the Pirates drafted back several years ago. I can't remember now exactly. But, you know, I remember watching his first game, you know, up in Pittsburgh. I was sitting next to his parents. I was just sitting at my desk. His parents were there. But, you know, so he's kind of come a long way, and to kind of see him leading this staff, you've got to imagine with a combination, of course, but without his pitching, I don't think they'd be in this position right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I will be – I think the most interesting thing to me, I mean, besides the fact that we're going to get the, you know, the 2-3-2 with days off, I'm really interested to see how the analytical, you know, sabermetrically run Dodgers handle a Rays team that really will go to pretty much any pitcher at any time. You know, you just never know what the hell they're going to pull out of, you know, either their bullpen or when they get to game four, you know, because obviously it's going to be Glasnow, Blake Snell, and then Charlie Morton. But when game four rolls around, who the hell knows who or what they're going to run out there. I'm really interested to see kind of how, you know, the Dodgers handled this analytically wise, because, you know, let's face it, I mean, basically the computer prints out their lineup and that's what they run out there. So I just don't know how it's going to handle it. And, you know, and I mean, obviously it's kind of a, you know, the other odd spectrum, the Dodgers with, I believe, either the highest or the second highest payroll in baseball against the low budget, you know, small salaried Tampa Bay Rays. So, yeah, you know, it should make it, you know, should make for an interesting matchup, you know. But, you know, that'll be fun. You know, and then last night, you know, the real star of the game was your guy Julio Urias, you know, who came out of the pen to pitch a three fantastic inning. You know, I guess, were you a little surprised that they didn't go to Kenley Jansen? You know, I know he's had some ups and downs and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but he's a big-time closer who's, you know, been through this. So, I kind of surprised that they just stayed with Urias, who, you know, let's face it, was rolling along. But, you know, you never know.
I'll be honest. I mean, I didn't even think about that. You know, you kind of get caught up in the heat of the moment, and Urias was in there and he was just rolling. And, you know, following this kid's career for the last, you know, couple of years and seeing him come up, you know, starter and then get demoted and then back and forth. So it was kind of, I was just kind of locked in and, you know, thinking to myself, actually, what a service they did to themselves by not getting rid of him. And then, you know, even though it may not work out in the pitching rotation. So I wasn't super surprised, I guess you could say, but I was just kind of locked into it. But I would think with the struggles Jensen has been having with his performance, maybe he didn't want to put it all on him like that.
Yeah, and I think he pitched in game six. I don't remember game five. I don't remember how many innings he logged. So, like, there's always possibility he wasn't available. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, you never know what was going on. But I did see, you know, I'm sure you're not surprised by this, but the Dodgers are the betting favorite. So, you know, just one of those situations. No shock there that you're, you know, the Dodgers are going to come in as the betting favorite here.
No, not surprised at all.
Yeah. You know, just one of the things, of course, you get to, you get to deal with there, but, I just hope, you know, and again, obviously, you know, for me, it kind of sucks because these games are going to start so late that, you know, I'm not going to get to see a lot of them. But, you know, hopefully, you know, I'll manage to pick up enough of it to at least enjoy it. But, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, great. So,
what does the schedule look like?
I can listen to them talk all off season about how they need to get, you know, younger people more interested in the game when they're starting them at, you know, what time. I'll check it here. Let my computer catch up. Tomorrow's start they have listed as 7:09 for you and I. So hopefully that will it'll probably be like 7:30, you know, how all the BS kind of starts. So, yeah, and then that's it. Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, even Saturday and Sunday are night games. Every start time is the same. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, I'm a little surprised they didn't start the Saturday game even a little earlier, you know, I mean, maybe even an hour earlier to kind of help everybody out, you know, or get everybody a little more interested. But I guess they figure everybody will stay up late and watch the World Series.
Oh, Saturday at 7 isn't too bad.
No, you know, I mean, that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, nothing wrong with that. It's just kind of like, obviously it's just interesting with some of the decisions they make with the stuff, you know, but that, again, you know, that's just me, and I want to see all these games and not have to put up with, you know, anything else.
Yeah, but I mean, again, it's only 7 o'clock on a Saturday, and for me, I'd actually like it to be 8:30, because then my daughter will be asleep by the time it, you know, gets past the fifth inning, and I could, you know, watch it in peace. But, you know, the other part of it is, don't forget that the college football is back, and, you know, you might want to, you know, some of the bigger games might be earlier, and you figure at least by 7 o'clock all the big games, you know, except for if they do a late one, but, you know, majority of the big game college games would be over by then.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I'm sure, you know, what you know, I mean, who knows what goes into consideration for this, but, you know, like I said, my concern is more during the week when, you know, I'm going to get a 7:30 start, and, you know, if I'm lucky, I'll be able to watch 45 minutes of the game, you know, and it's like, great. So, but, yeah, you know, again, as long as they're good teams, and, you know, luckily there'll be, you know, two over the weekend that I'll be able to watch all of them. They'll have, you know, because it's Tuesday, Wednesday, they'll get Thursday off, and then it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'll be able to, you know, look, you know, watch both the Friday and Saturday games. So, and now, do you think, you know, I saw somebody mention that they think the Rays have a little bit of an advantage because they got the day off and their starting pitching had more of a chance to rest. are you buying that at this point? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, the Dodgers get the day off as well. So,
I mean, I'm not really buying that one because it's so close that it's, you know, it's kind of the difference between pennies and nickels, right? I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock into it. And then you've got to think about the fact that, yeah, while Tampa Bay may be rested an extra day, or, you know, almost sound like, an extra day, but at the same time, you know, are you physically rested? Yes, but how well does that do for your emotionally rested, when you know these guys are bubbled up, they're not doing anything. You know, if their families are there, they're stuck with them. And what's determined in the next series is Sunday night's game. So I highly doubt that these guys weren't all glued to their TVs wondering who they're going to be playing. And while you may not be rooting for one team or another, the anticipation can still kind of get to you. So I would say that they're still on an even playing level.
Yeah, now do you want to you want to see this go 7 games as a fan, or do you want it to wrap up quickly here with the way this season has went?
I don't mind 7 games. I mean, it all depends on, of course, how well it's played, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean. You know, that's definitely one of the one of the factors. You know, I mean, it's interesting, of course, to see the Dodgers here because, you know, they've been a contender now for what, the last 3 or 4 years. So maybe this is finally their year.
Yeah, and they've been in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, again, you know, like I said, it'll be interesting. I hope it's a good series. I want to see a 4 game sweep or, you know, anything like that. I want it to be, you know, well played. And, you know, maybe Mookie Betts can make a couple more fantastic catches.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. There's still nothing like watching a guy rob a home run. And, you know, to see Mookie, I think one of the cool things for him is to not only come from a World Series team that was accused of cheating and not really getting a whole lot of, BS for it. You know, he may have been kind of just luck of the draw and the switching the teams and then the lack of media at each and every game. So that might have helped him out. But, I mean, to see this guy's confidence and he's still playing and showing that he belongs, and yeah, I think it's pretty amazing. He might be, you know, one of the big keys that helps him get that World Series. You know, one thing I was thinking, though, you know, with the way that it's set up with the World Series right now, do you think it's a possibility that Major League Baseball might go to picking a place, or do you think they'll continue to go with the way the normal, where, you know, World Series is hosted by the two teams?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I actually kind of like this. I don't know if it's something they're going to stay with, but I think I would really kind of like to see them continue to do this, maybe for just the World Series. You know, because I mean, would you think fans would travel for a series? Do you think it would hurt attendance, or how do you think that would work? Because obviously that's the biggest concern.
Honestly, I don't think it would hurt with attendance because, I mean, you've got about 10,000 people in Texas right now. You know, and this was decided not too long ago, so it's kind of working out. And, you know, if you think about it, it does put a somewhat of a level playing field for both teams regardless. But then, you know, you turned it into, if you do that with the World Series, you almost turned it into, on the business side of it, like the NFL draft. You know, you just went from a World Series that is mainly determined upon, you know, who the Dodgers and the Rays, that they made it. You had no clue at the beginning of the year that these two teams are. But if you centralize it into one place for 7 days, Big Jack, you could start, you know, you got to imagine how much money Major League Baseball could make off of this and having cities, you know, bidding for World Series. I mean, this would never happen. I don't think we'd have like a cohesion, you know, cohesive, that's what I was looking for. But, you know, just bringing it to Chicago and having games at Wrigley and Guaranteed Rate. And, you know, you could do that in New York, too, and only like three other places. But, and maybe that's a little far-fetched. But if you think about it, say the city of Chicago is, you know, built some new attractions, some, you know, a bigger giant beam that you could go look at. And they want to attract people to Chicago. And they bid to have the World Series here. You have 7 days, and, you know, with the amount of money that baseball makes, you're filling your hotels, your restaurants, you know, everything for a week, and it makes it a big destination. And then it also makes it something that the entire city can get behind for, you know, they would probably have, you would probably know, you know, at the end of the season, you know, and baseball could make a big thing about that at the World Series. You know, this time, you know, next year's World Series would be held, you know, if you think about it, almost like how Vince McMahon would announce the WrestleManias.
Yeah, well, you know, in all honesty, I was just kind of thinking more of, you know, getting them in places where I wouldn't have to watch a game in Chicago in late October where it snowed.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was, you know, kind of my thing, you know, if you had a dome or, you know, something like that where you could, you know, take the weather out of it. But, I mean, and that may be the drawback is, you know, you, if you're going to do it that way, you know, you basically eliminate two out of your three biggest markets in New York and Chicago.
Yeah.
But, it's interesting. And, you know, just a couple of, you know, off-the-wall tidbits here before we have to go away. I saw that Kyle Larson was reinstated by NASCAR. And there's been a lot of rumors that he's going to take over your boy Clint Boyer's ride next year, the number 14 car. So we'll have to check that one out. And then this is kind of a guilty pleasure for us here, Dan. I just caught it here that Dark Side of the Ring has been renewed for a season 3, and it's going to include 14 episodes. They haven't released what the episodes are going to be about, but yeah, a 14 episode season. So we'll have that. Yeah, you've got to wonder what the heck else still come up with, right? But I'm sure, you know, they could do like the Montreal, because I don't think they've done the Montreal screw job with, you know, Bret Hart and Vince McMahon. And so I'm sure there's some stuff out there they can still find.
Well, they did some of it, and then I forgot, you know, just a little bit, but someone was alluding, not Jim Cornette, was alluding that the whole screw job was a setup.
Right. Hey, if you want to jump on, don't stop about that. That was really nice. But remember, the podcast is available to people listening to anytime you want.